Fellow Nomad Podcast, where we talk about cycling, travel, sport, even events, training, nutrition, reviews, and a whole lot more. All right, today we're talking to Mike Cotty, who's an ex-marketing guy for Canada. He's now struck out on his own. The reason we're talking to him today is because he recently rode 666 Ks non-stop through the Alps, and I just wanted to talk to him about a few things, mainly why he did it and training and a few other things. So welcome, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
I know it's 11 p.m. over there, so we'll try and keep this pretty short. Now
that's like, because when you do a big ride, you don't sleep, so I'm used to it.
So with this 666K over, I think it was 16,000 metres, why on earth did you decide to do this?
A couple of years ago, let's start again. I've always kind of been inspired. I have my own sort of thoughts and ideas which just come into my head, and from that I've sort of done a few challenges in the past which have inspired me. And a couple of years ago I did a similar thing across the Pyrenees and rode from the Atlantic coast to the Mediterranean. I was a really fulfilling challenge, and I was even more inspired to try something maybe a little bit bigger and a little bit harder. And Europe's such an amazing place, and I've done sort of single day trips to the mountains, and one big ride here and one big ride there, and I just sort of came to the conclusion, well, maybe it's possible to string them all together and see what I'm capable of. So it's nothing more than just the joy of just getting out and riding. And when you actually have an objective that it's very rare that you have the time and the your full focus is to ride a bike. We we all have busy lives away from, yeah, even so it's our passion, we still have objectives and commitments elsewhere. So when the opportunity comes to really get away and escape and just be like, hey, I'm going to put 110% into just bike riding, then that's a pretty special thing to be able to actually get on and do. So,
yeah,
love of the mountains and love of the challenge to see what I'm maybe capable of.
Oh, I totally understand. I mean, I guess for most of us, it's something like a 200 or 250K bike ride, even just not even in the hills is a challenge. So this is on a different level, I guess. And so with you're a reasonable rider already, so for something like this, did you have to prepare for it with extra training or?
Yeah, I mean, the lucky part I've got is I've ridden my bike since I was 12 years old, and it's the thing which puts me in that good place. So I've been consistent. I've had a lot of friends over the years. They've maybe raced, and then they've started a family. They've got married. They've done all the the standard things in life, and that sometimes takes some of their focus away. So they always come back to the sport, which is good to see. And I've had a pretty consistent sort of affinity with the sport over the years. And I've always been on the bike and sort of put big miles in.
Yeah.
So from that respect, I've got a fairly reasonable base mileage.
Yeah.
But then that's a reasonable base mileage which would get you through some big sportives and 150, 200, 250 kilometer events. But when push comes to shove, when you say you get up to 600, 650, it's close to 700 kilometers, that's you said it yourself, it's a completely different ball game. And there's only so much physical training that you can do, and then a mental aspect comes in.
Yeah.
And it becomes this mind over matter. That's one of the things which I also like. I like to really try and use my the physical assets that I've got and built up over the years, but then also try to it's powerful for the mind as well. It takes a lot of visualization, and I'm constantly sort of thinking about what I might be feeling, or how I can overcome adversity, through weather conditions, through just sleep deprivation or anything like this. So you know, I didn't change the sort of base mileage, but I just had to up everything. And I just had to, you have to just put every spare moment that you've got into it, earlys, lates, you know, nights, everything, just to, that's how I work though.
Yeah.
That's, you know, another person can be maybe more relaxed with it, but the way I work is just like, if I focus on something, it's like, you know, I have to, for my own sort of peace, then I have to give it as much as I can. I have to put as much focus until I feel comfortable that, you know, I've got a chance of that actually accomplishing it.
Yeah. So was your base and your training adequate, or did you physically, not mentally, but did you physically hit the wall on this ride, or you got through it okay physically?
Yeah, physically, I mean, I was really surprised. I think I did a 300-mile training ride. So that's like just over 500k. that was beginning of June.
Yeah.
That had 8,000 meters of climbing. And it was in the UK, you know, so every climb was probably no more than, you know, like half a kilometer. It was just up, down all the way.
Yeah.
Pretty destructive for your legs because, you know, as a person who likes the mountains, I like to get into a rhythm, and you know, it's not about the sort of short, sharp power climb. So it was a real different sort of physical exertion. But you know, from that side, I've done some pretty good training rides, and then really the last weekend, 2 weeks before I went out to the Alps to attempt the challenge, that was just one of the hardest weekends I think I've ever done. It was just from a mental point of view as well. I just, you know, I put everything on hold, and I just basically just rode the bike all day, and then got back and just about had enough time to have some dinner, watch the tour highlights, and then I just went straight back on the bike again, rode all night, and then rode till dawn, got back in, and then just jumped into bed. Like, I was hallucinating at night, and it was just horrendous. I just thought, there's no way, you know, my body's going to actually put up with this. And by the time I got back, I'd kind of overcome that. I was like, well, I feel okay now. You know, it took a couple of hours at night, and I had 2.5 hours sleep, and then I just went back out and you know, rode the whole of the next day. And so I got back in, and it was like 21 hours of riding in 27 hours or something in total.
Yeah.
And it was more a case of, you know, I had to do it just from a mental point of view, because I needed to feel, you know, absolutely, if I'm hitting the wall, and you know, everything, my mind saying no, my body saying no, what happens? You know, what happens? I'm in the middle of the Alps, and that happens, and I've got a support team around me, and no one knows what to do.
Yeah.
So I'm the only person who's going to know what to do. I'm going to say, it's okay, you know, right, you know, just give me half an hour, it's going to be okay, because I've been here before.
Yeah.
If I haven't been there before, then people start stressing out, and then I start stressing out, and then, you know, no one knows what to do. So, you know, when it came to the actual challenge, my biggest concern was the weather, because you know, obviously it can turn really quickly there, and you know, I suffer quite a lot in the cold, so you know, it's something, you know, you can turn paradise into sort of purgatory within, you know, a couple of minutes if it starts getting bad out there. And you know, fortunately, for all the stress which I put on, you know, what the weather's going to be like, it was actually a really, really, really nice day and night. Super warm, super hot, which is good for me. And you know, I had some, there was definitely some moments where I was like, I had to dig so deep. But overall, I'd never had to dig as deep as when I was training on my own, and it was pitch black, and I was seeing really strange things in front of my eyes which weren't there. And you know, it was like, you just don't want to repeat those things. So you know, I had to give everything I had, but at the same time, it's like I had a, you know, an amazing support team around me, which is, you're doing it for yourself, but at the same time, you look back and you see people who are giving up their time. They're not getting paid for it. This is just like through the love of, you know, bike riding and seeing what can be done. And you know, there's no big cash check at the end of it. It's just, you just finish and say, wow, you know, that was an experience. And you know, so for having good weather and good support, it's like, that's something which you know you're sort of humbled by everything that went into it just to get me through that challenge.
So this 500 kilometer training ride 2 weeks beforehand, and you touched upon how hard it was mentally. What about physically? I mean, that's only 2 weeks before another major effort. How did you recover from that 500k bike ride?
Yeah, I mean, normally pretty much the same stuff. If I do, like, this is low, it's not super low intensity. Obviously, you've got climbs where you do go up to slightly higher levels, but it's not, I find that with the base I've got, it's not as destructive. Say if I'm, I still sort of race cross-country mountain bike and things like this, and, you know, I can really tear myself apart in one of those races and maybe spend as long trying to recover, because, you know, you basically sort of strip yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's a different type of exertion. So I find, I mean, really, it's a case of, you know, recovery, make sure that you sleep as good as possible, you eat well, you know, you stay hydrated, and, you know, and then, you know, I have pretty much times when you're on the bike and it's just like, right, all I can do today is like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And it's just to turn the legs over, I stretch in the evenings, and it's like, you know, a lot of the time it's, you do some massive miles at the weekend, and then you're just in because you've got work anyway. So in the week, it's like, okay, well, we're busy with work. And then, you know, you try and fit a ride in after work, and you're tired anyway. So it's like an hour and a half. But the thing is, I also have, you know, my own sort of training experiences and philosophies. And, you know, over the years, you sort of like, you know, I think to myself, well, if you're training when you're tired, it's, for me, for as an endurance sort of athlete, and as someone who sort of goes beyond the normal realms of tiredness when you would normally stop when you're on your bike, then I from a mental point of view and also from a physical point of view, I think it's sometimes beneficial, because, you know, you start a ride and you're already tired. Well, when you get 10 hours into a ride, you're pretty tired.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you can start that ride, whether if you start in a state where you haven't eaten enough, you haven't slept enough, and you're tired because you've trained hard, you know, 1-2 days beforehand, you're still going to feel those sensations at one point in that ride.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to be sensible. You need to recover. But at the same time, I find that, you know, riding endurance, riding low intensity when you're tired, it also... You know, mentally it's a good thing. Maybe physically it helps as well, because, you know, it puts you into a level that you're going to feel and you're going to have to try and overcome as well.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. You can't get stronger unless you overexert yourself and force your body to adapt.
Exactly.
Now, mentally, you talked about in that 500k bike ride about how hard it was mentally, and I'd imagine in the challenge that you did, the 666k ride, there were some mental low points there. How did you, when you're approaching a particularly difficult point, how do you mentally get over it? Because I remember a few years ago when I did one of the etapes in the Alps, it was the shorter one up the Galibier and then the Alpe d'Huez. Getting up the Alpe d'Huez was quite hard. I didn't have compacts, and just mentally it was quite distressing. When you get to that point, how do you keep pushing yourself?
Well, I think... certainly on the 666k ride, I mean, for me, the hardest point, it was going really well, you know, because I looked up and the sky was blue, it was clear sky, really hot, and I thought, you know, yeah, this is good, and I could feel the, you know, the warmth getting into my muscles early on, and, you know, it was just a perfect scenario, and I was trying to look, at the direction I was going all the time and check the sort of wind as I was going, and but it was changing a lot. It was one minute it was like a southerly, and then it was a northerly, and then it was just chopping and changing. And we'd been out to do a recon about a month before, just to check the route out and the climbs and make final preparation. And you know, I'd gone up the Glandon, and I know that's a really tough climb from St Etienne up to the Glandon, and then onto the Croix de Fer.
Yeah.
And I had a tailwind, and you know, mentally I was like, hey, Glandon's not so bad, you know. but I was doing, you know, I was doing 150k a day, you know, standard stuff. And I said, hey, you know, so in my head, I'm like, yeah, the Glandon's not so bad. And at that point, I've been riding for, I don't know, 9.5, 10 hours or something. And you know, I basically hadn't put a foot down. And at the bottom, it was just like a furnace. And I mean, it was really hot. And I started the Glandon, and it was a block headwind.
Yeah.
I was thinking, and I just, I mean, I was just going up and up and up, and then the kilometers were just getting that fraction steeper. So we got into like 8%, 9%, 10%, and it's a 19k climb from that side, and You know, I just, that was a real, it was such a battle, it was such a war, because I was barely moving at points, and the sport car behind were like, hey, right in the middle of the road, because they thought I was going so slow that it looked like I was going to topple over, because, you know, the wind and the gradient, you know, together, and that amount of riding, were, it was just like, I'm just not moving anywhere, and it was, and I could just, the kilometers were going so slow, and it was still really hot, and it was just, I remember saying to my, I was just like, I was screaming in my head, like, I was just like, this is, it wasn't like this before, like, yeah. What's, you know, what's going, is this little bit of invisible, you know, wind, which, you know, it couldn't hurt anyone, and suddenly it's just, it's killing me,
yeah.
And I was just like, well, I'm only 250Ks in, I'm thinking. And then the support car went past me, and which was great, because I just wanted to suffer on my own. I, you know, when you've got people watching you,
yeah.
I'm pretty self-conscious. It's yeah. like you want to, you know, you want to keep your posture right. You say, yeah, you know, everything's good. You stiff up a lip, and
yeah.
I was just like, just leave me alone. I just want to die. Like, I've had enough. And it was like, I was 250Ks in. It was, you know, we were probably approaching 11 hours at that point, getting close to the summit. And I just... Yeah, I just sort of, I don't know, I just groveled my way to the top, basically. And then we got to the top, and because the sun was setting, we decided that was the moment when lights were going to go on the bike. I was going to put leg warmers on, knee warmers, grab a little bit to eat, and then just prepare for the night. And, you know, there wasn't a, that was the hardest point in the ride. It was just, and it was all down to the elements. It was all down to nature, you know, sticking another one in. And, you know, if it had decided to rain at that point, then I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
But right. It was, you just, all I say to myself is, as long as I'm moving forward, yep. you know, I'm making yep. progress.
So not, it
just doesn't matter.
You didn't put, no putting the foot down or walking or anything like that.
No. I've just got to. I mean, I would have walked. I would have. If it came to it, then I would walk. You know, I'd do whatever it took. But you know, at that point, luckily I didn't have to, and you know, I had enough time whilst I was sort of changing kit and putting extra bits on and fitting the lights. I had, you know, it was probably a 15-minute stop, and I had enough time. That was enough time just to get my composure. And you know, and then I started, you sort of cross the top and then take a left onto the Croix de Fer, and after that, I think the wind was sort of more cross and then behind me.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a nice long descent as well down to the valley. So, you know, it was just this real wake up, like, whoa, I'm only in control of so much here.
Yeah.
You know, I can control my pace. I can control, you know, the rhythm which I've got on the climbs, the exertion what I put in, and I can try and replicate everything which I've worked for over the last few months. But at the end of the day, the mountains for me are always in control. They can tell you, you know, right, it's not going to happen today, and boom, they just blow up, and that's it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's game over. So, you know, I think maybe it was a wake up. There was, you know, something out there just saying, you know, this is going to be pretty tough, so you better prepare yourself. And then, you know, that really, I think it maybe gave me some extra adrenaline as well, because it was like, I thought, I'm only 250Ks in here, and I've got, you know, I've got a long, we're on the first third of the climbing. So it's like, yeah, we've got to stick with it. So,
yeah. And so a lot of people, head to the Alps and the Pyrenees and to Europe with having ridden, I suppose, well, particularly the Australians I talk to and many Americans, they don't really have an appreciation of the scale, and they head overseas with their normal group set on, so normally, you know, full-size chain rings. Yeah. And then they attempt to do something like the Étape de Tour, which for a lot of people is pretty equivalent, I suppose, to what you've attempted. Because you've got a lot more experience, and then they're shocked, and people are walking, and they abandon. And so my question to you is, for a ride like this, did you have compacts or not?
I love my compact. It's the first, back in the day when compact wasn't available, of course, you just sort of muscled it out. And I've ridden Le Taps and Le Marmot with a standard setup, and, you know, 25 on the back. But you know, for me, my original sort of sport going back many years was mountain biking, and you know, I use a really sort of high cadence.
Yep.
low gear, and you know, I try and keep my revs up as high as possible, and
yeah.
That's just my sort of riding style. I don't have a real, you know, I'm not a real powerful guy which can just sort of muscle a big gear over. So I was running a 34 on the front actually put a 28 on the back.
Yep.
And you know, it was a perfect gear. I mean, you know, yeah, it worked for me. It worked perfectly, and I would really recommend, you know, if you haven't got the experience. I mean, I've sort of said to people in the past, you know, when you're in the mountains, it's you against the ascent.
Gravity.
and there's no. You know, there's no being embarrassed that you're running a compact. I mean,
exactly.
You know, it's embarrassed when you suddenly have to get off and walk.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
You know, it's like, so I ran a 34.28, and you know, I use that gear a lot. And it was always just like, look, if, as long as I can keep my legs turning over smoothly, I feel that my legs are a lot more supple, and you know, I can keep going for longer.
I totally agree with you. I think I'm not sure if ego comes into it for a lot of people, but you know, having a big gear and appearing, you know, strong and whatever else, and then you know, and then coming up against the reality of these climbs, I think, you know, I've said it before to people too, you just leave ego at the door, and I think something like a 34.27 or a 28 is, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, because even, you know, even if you do training, the last time I went over there for one of the etapes, I'd done 36 weeks of really solid training, and I had a 36, so I SRAM read 36 with 28, and it still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's with doing gym work in the legs and stuff like that, so not having weak legs, but it still wasn't enough. So, you know, I think you're right, being able to spin up the side of the mountain and being able to spin away all day is a much better proposition than having to get off and walk. Yeah. Or
I did, I mean, I did some real sort of rudimentary basic tests with a parameter, and you know, I rode in what I would perceive, you know, like a harder exertion, so it was a bigger gear.
Yep.
And then I rode how I felt good, in a smaller gear, and I was a fair amount like higher in my wattage, just through turning the pedals over quicker, and it didn't feel as hard. It's my natural riding cadence, and then I thought, oh, let's muscle it over like a tough guy or whatever, and my watt dropped, and you know, so I proved it to myself in the numbers, but even without that, you know, the thing is, you've just got to ride on feel.
Yep.
You've got to know your body, you've got to know your equipment, and you've got to try and ride on feel, and like, as far as you can, try and replicate what you want to do in an event in training.
Yep.
It's not always possible, but, and then leave the ego at the door.
Yeah.
And anything which is going to be an advantage to you in your equipment setup, then, you know, seek that as well, because, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's crucial that you've got, you know, adequate gearing to get over these mountains.
So just quickly on training, what's your everyday training involve across the week? And does it include cross training, like any gym work or strength work or running or swimming or anything like that? I mean, how many Ks a week do you do a week, sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really, really simple. You know, I've sort of throughout the main season, I'm on the bike, like, as much as I can. So it maybe it's 10 hours in the week, and then a couple of big rides at the weekend.
Okay.
You know, big rides, if it's decent out, then it could be, you know, I don't know, between 7 and 9 hours. You know, it's not every single weekend, but you know, it's pretty solid. So I'm putting in, you know, I'd look at my training diary and, you know, putting in, I don't know, maybe
30 hours a week, sort of thing.
Yeah, around 30 hours a week. So it equates to something like, I don't know, I haven't got my diary in front of me, but, you know, normally it's around sort of 400, 450 miles, something like that. So
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty big volume.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the last few years, winter time, I've done cross racing. And, you know, obviously that's completely different. It's, you know, it's 1 hour flat out, and you know, a lot of that's because the weather gets really bad. It's on the indoor trainer, and you know, just doing short, sharp intervals. And
yep.
But I pretty much only do bike
yep.
training.
Okay.
I do some stretching and a little bit of core work from home.
Yep.
But you know, it's like when you try and fit in you know, the one sport, like I don't know how the sort of triathletes do it, you know, they fit three sports in, because,
no.
You know, I like riding my bike, and it's like, that's, you know, I sort of, if I'm sidetracked into doing other things, I think, well, I just actually want to be riding my bike. So, you know, I've looked at it in the past and thought I need to maybe work on my core strength. And then I finished a ride like the Alps last week or the week before, and I had no pain. It was like I had a little bit of neck pain, but I didn't have back pain. I didn't have leg pain, knee pain. So I'm like, well, you know, core can't be that bad.
No, you must be doing something right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of it comes from, again, it's a consistency that I've had over the years, just because I've always ridden my bike. And if you sit on the bike for a long time, then certain muscle groups are going to get stronger and they're going to adapt. And, you know, I think over the years, what's been interesting for me is when I was a junior and then sort of under 23, I had a couple of coaches, and you know, we were always trying to work on different theories, train like this, train like that, do more intervals, do longer rides. And, you know, of course, you're new to it like that, and you take people's advice. And it's only after, you know, many years of doing my own thing that you understand your own body. And now what's nice is I when I ride, I can feel where I'm weak. I know I can feel, well, look, I feel that my back isn't strong enough. So, you know, I have to do something about that. Or I feel, you know, I just haven't got the top end. Then, okay, I know what to do there. But it's all, everything which I do now is, you know, I'm at an age where it's like I've spent a lot of time and my own experience. You can really feel it. And it's a shame that you don't, you know, you only get this experience, you know, after a good few years of riding and training.
Yeah.
If I had that experience when I was younger, then I probably would have trained completely different.
Yeah.
Despite the fact what any coach was telling me, because that's just trial and error for them. But now as soon as I ride, I'm like, I know where I'm weak, I know where I'm strong, I know where I may need to work on, and then I go and do it. So it's a very organic process. And you know, the more time which I can actually spend just on the bike, working on trying to, you know, become a better rider is sort of the best thing for me, I think.
So you're basically self-trained now, and so I mean, you're a different kettle of fish to most people who will hear this. You know, most of us probably couldn't do 450 miles. What's that equal to? About divide by six, like 700 k's a week or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. When I was training for racing, I was doing maybe 400 a week, and that was a lot. That was with one or two days off. So I guess for most people sitting at home, it would be more a case of what's most effective for them. So how would you position someone at home listening who wants to get most bang for buck? Would it be a mix of interval training and some base Ks?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do actually get asked the question a lot. It's like I've got sort of friends and all sorts of people out there who, you know, if I can give some advice, which is great from experience, it's like, you know, first of all, it's like, look at what your goal is.
Yeah.
And if your goal is, hey, I want to do a big endurance challenge, then you're going to have to put some volume in.
Yeah.
Because it's about being able to be very efficient with your fuel and you know, manage the fuel that you're putting in efficiently to get to the end goal. And likewise, if you're a mountain biker, a cross rider, a track rider, you know, you've got to have the end goal in mind, and then look back at how you're, you know, effectively going to train with the time available to get to that goal. So, you know, most people are going to, you know, are going to benefit from, you're going to need some intensity. You're going to have to look at how many commitments you've got in the week, how many hours you can dedicate. If it's 10 hours, then, you know, you're going to, maybe the weekend you can get a, you know, an intermediate ride in of 3 to 4 hours. That's great. And then in the week, you know, it's probably going to be short, sharp, you know, punchy stuff before work or after work.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I try and keep everything I do, I try and keep as simple as possible.
Yeah.
So it's, what's the end goal? How many hours have I got? At the end of the day, if you can only dedicate a certain amount of time, that's fine, because,
yeah,
you know, you're going to get to a certain level of fitness, which on the hours which you can put in and dedicate, because you've got work commitments, family commitments, other personal commitments, you're going to be, you should still go to that event, do whatever you do as best you can, and still come away with it, you know, feeling really proud and happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you put the work in, you know, you know, not everyone can put in 25, 30, 35 hours a week you know, because you just can't. So, you know, it really is a case of, as I say, just to keep it as simple as possible. But at the same time, you know, for me, it's important where I do volume. And, you know, if I work on a big challenge, I need to put the hours in. You know, I need to be doing things which I actually enjoy doing as well. You know, a lot of coaches, you know, it's great advice, you know, you've got to work on your weaknesses. But, you know, if you're always doing things that you don't enjoy,
yes,
then sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, crikey, we want to go out and ride our bikes and, like, come back and go, that was amazing.
Yeah, and enjoy yourself.
If every time you're going out and riding your bike, going, well, my coach told me to go and sprint up those hills, but I hate doing that.
And I'm suffering.
You only do it for three or four weeks, and then you're completely cooked.
Yeah. Yeah, so that leads me into my next question. Do you, I mean, basically, in everyday riding to maintain your fitness, but also keeping in mind something like your challenge you've just done, or for people listening, like a sportive, I mean, personally, do you maintain the same pattern? Do you do periodization, or do you just use the same sort of training pattern over and over?
I mean, depending on the time of year, obviously, like, you know, winter, you know, it's kind of that traditional sort of, well, for me, it was cyclocross, and then after, in January time, then I start base mileage and, you know, really just, like, taper everything back. So it's just, like, you know, it's just enjoyment on the bike and,
yeah,
you know, going out with friends and everything. And, you know, as I come to the season, I even this year, I've mixed some mountain bike racing, which is, you know, mostly an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes, you know, flat out
yeah,
with the big stuff. So I've got a couple of good friends which we try and get out midweek and just sort of have a rip-up session as well. And, you know, it's, yeah, I think I may be slightly unorthodox because, you know, the background which I've had and the consistency to riding over many years. And, you know, so I think to a point I've got, you know, certain areas of my system are relatively well developed. So I can tap into, you know, whether it's a high intensity for a race or if it's, you know, the low intensity endurance for a big challenge, I can sort of tap into that quite readily. So, I mean, yeah, again, it's like trying to keep it simple with, you know, with the whole process of the year. And if I, you know, as I say, in a couple of weeks' time, I've got another mountain bike race and, you know, there's not a lot of time to really train for that. It's just because I'm going to go and enjoy it. And, you know, I'm going to ask myself when I'm on the start line, right now, I've got to ride as fast as I can instead of, you know, not as long as I can sort of thing. So, you know, I try and keep the, you know, the basics there. But as I say, because it's been done for many years, you know, I think most of it, I don't feel that, I don't know how I could progress as a rider that much more without changing, you know, something radical because, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of get up in the mornings, I do what I do and I, you know, I sleep at night and, you know, because I, once again, I have to enjoy what I'm doing. I can't see myself, you know, changing a lot of it because if there's something out there which I would enjoy more, then I probably would have found it by now.
Right. That makes total sense. So for people who want to, I mean, looking at your challenge that you undertook, for people who are undertaking their own challenge, I guess an Etape de Tour, a Marmot or something like that, what would be your key tips to them?
So key tips for their own challenge. First of all, you know, I mean, it might sound a bit crazy, but try and make sure that it's realistic. You know, I didn't really know if I had the, you know, the strength and ability to really sort of crack the Alps challenge. You know, I had a dream, you know, I really wanted to give it a try, but, you know, ultimately I didn't, you know, because I'd never attempted, I'd done sort of similar distances, but, you know, that was in terms of the amount of elevation, it was really the next level up for me. So, you know, there's no point for anyone who wants to take on their own challenge, you know, make sure that it's realistic. You know, don't look at what other people have done and just suddenly go, well, I'll do something bigger and better. You know, try and build up to it. Try and make sure that at the end of the day, you want to try and achieve your goal.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, you know, setting a big unrealistic challenge and then potentially not achieving it is pretty detrimental, you know, from a physical and mental, especially a mental point of view. So, you know, really, first of all, make sure that it's realistic. And then, you know, I'm, as I say, I'm I try and keep things as simple as possible, and I write everything down. So, you know, this is when I want to try and achieve the challenge, and how long have I got to do that? So I've got, you know, 6 months, 8 months. And where do I start? Well, what's my fitness now? It's average. Okay. What do I need to do? So I write down, you know, I need big endurance for this challenge. I need a lot of hours on the bike. So I'm going to have to make sacrifices. You know, I'm not going to see family and friends that much. And, you know, that's something which you've just got to deal with. You know, so it's kind of like if you have a blank piece of paper and you put on the right hand side, you write your challenge and the date which you've got it and what you need to do to achieve it. And then I just work back to the left hand side and start filling in all the blanks.
Yeah.
You know, and as I say, just try and keep it fresh, try and keep it real. So, you know, and then just focus. You've just got to focus on it. And, you know, if it's something which is, you know, you truly, truly, really want to try and achieve, then, you know, you can only train so much, and then the rest of it, you know, you just have to just go for it and use mind over matter and anything which you can to just keep yourself moving forward.
Even if it's just knocking out a 300k ride on one day just for something to do when your normal ride might be 150 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've done some, you know, like anything. It's like, yeah, sometimes you just do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's spontaneous. And I mean, when I look back at the sort of hours which I put in and some of the sacrifices which I made, you know, a modern day coach would be like, they would never recommend doing any of that.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's the way I wanted to try and do it. And, you know, I felt comfortable in myself, like, you know what, you know, again, I keep going back to the mental part of it. For me, if I've experienced something, then, you know, I can remember it and it lives with me. And I only have the confidence if I've experienced something. So, you know, I can't just go and do it and hope. I've got to try and, you know, I've got to put the hours in. I've really got to work hard. And, you know, that's, and then when I've experienced it, so for example, you know, big hours in training and you know, the sort of sleep deprivation and really just sort of stripping yourself raw, then I go, you know what, I hope I don't have to feel that, but I've experienced it. And now I know, you know what, I'm still here. It's okay. I went through the bad patch, and, you know, I actually felt okay after that. And then it was crazy, the last part of that weekend for my last big block, as I was finishing the last ride on the Sunday, I felt good. I felt, well, I was with a couple of friends, and I don't know where, I don't know how, you know, everything, all the maths, all the physics, we should be saying you shouldn't be riding, you know, you shouldn't be riding strongly, but I felt really good. And it was, I don't know, you know, I can't explain it, but, you know, you go through these ups and downs, and, you know, sometimes it's just nice to push yourself above and beyond what you think may be possible. And then sometimes you get a nice surprise at the end.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's kind of as simple as that.
Speaking of sleep deprivation, I know it must be nearly midnight there. So this is the last question. What's next for you in terms of your challenges? Where do you go to from a 660K ride?
Yeah. As I say, it's a really organic process, and I haven't got, you know, most things, you know, I've got a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan. I want to do this, I want to do that. It's like, you know, I'm
and it pops into your head.
I haven't got an agenda. I've certainly got some ideas that I would like to sort of bring to life over the next year or two. Not necessarily in a big endurance way, but in a way that I can maybe help riders. Just pass on my experience, really, through a sportive role, through a, you know, just helping people get out there and try and enjoy, you know, the mountains and you know, any part of their riding which maybe I've got experience with. And then, you know, I've got some things which I'm sure are going to bubble up, but, you know, I haven't got like a right, I want to ride around the world, I want to do this. It's just something happens.
Yep.
Something will happen over the winter, and it will be like I did the Pyrenees in 2011, and then didn't do, I just rode and, you know, I raced a bit in 2010 and, you know, I was pretty tired still, you know, from a mental point of view, it was, you know, it's like, it takes a lot out of you. And, but there was no, it was like, I felt content. It was like, yep, you know what, that was amazing. And then, you know, the next, over the winter, it was like, I quite fancy, yeah, maybe the Alps is possible, you know, and it's sort of like, you know, that moment hits you, you know, you're probably, you know, tucking into a bit of food or something and suddenly it's like, maybe it could be done in one go. You know, it's like, well, how far is it? I don't know. Let's have a look. We get the maps out. We do a bit of route planning and it's like 16,000 meters. Wow. That's like nearly two times Everest. That's like, that's pretty big, isn't it? It's like, yeah, that is. So, you know, it goes from there. So I think that's a key element for me, you know, just to sort of finish up. It's like to keep my bike riding fresh, you know, if I had to think I've now got to go out and do 6, 7, 8, 9 hours on the bike, you know, you just get so drained. You just aren't. So if I think, right, next year I'm going to go and ride, you know, across America, you know, it's like, crikey, okay, I need to recover first. You know, I need to get a little bit of mental, you know, recovery and physical recovery. You know, you need to live again. You need to just be like, oh, okay, that's done. And then it'll happen. I mean, if it's in you, it's in you. Yeah. You know, you don't, these things, you don't, they just grow. So I'm pretty excited because, you know, who knows? I was really, truly surprised by, you know, the whole Alps experience. And, you know, to finish it and actually achieve it was, you know, what I thought it would have been beyond me. But, you know, I sit here now and it's like just an experience which I'm, you know, so grateful to have actually had. That, you know, something's going to happen and it'll be like a little idea will pop into my head and something will come, you know, and we'll work on the project and, you know, sort of watch this space and hopefully it'll be another fun one.
Sounds fun. We'll have to keep in touch. I think you made a good point there about keeping things fresh when you're doing, you know, a lot of training, particularly for racing, you've got an obligation to a calendar and it just gets a bit draining. So, you know, I think you made the key point there is keep it fresh and do stuff you actually enjoy. And if it means time off the bike, well, time off the bike it is.
Exactly.
All right, Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for talking to us.
Anytime.